Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vedanta Limited's third quarter financial year 25-26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Participants connected on webcast link may change the quality settings to 1080p to watch the proceedings on best quality. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Charanjit Singh, Group Head, Investor Relations, Vedanta. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Yash. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Vedanta Limited Q3 FY26 earnings call. On behalf of Team Vedanta, I thank you all for joining us today. I hope you had the chance to look at a press release, earning presentation, and the detailed financial statements. On this call from Vedanta side, we have with us Ms. Deshni Naidu, Group CEO, Mr. Arun Mishra, our Executive Director, Mr. Ajay Goyal, Group CFO, Mr. Rajiv Kumar, CEO Aluminium Business, Mr. Anup Agarwal, CFO Aluminium Business, Mr. Yasmin Sahurti, CEO Oil and Gas, and Mr. Rajinder Singh Ahuja, CEO Power Business. We will begin with the business and operational update from Ms. Naidu, followed by an update on the financial highlights by Mr. Ajay Goyal, and thereafter we'll open the lines for Q&A. With this, I now hand over the call to Ms. Naidu. Over to you, Deshni.
Thank you, Charanjit. Good evening, everyone. It is a privilege to address you once again as I present our performance for the third quarter of FY26, a period marked by record operational achievements, key transformational milestones in Vedanta's 2.0 journey. We achieved our best ever quarterly EBITDA of 15,171 rupees crore, while also recording our lifetime high revenue and PAT of 45,899 rupees crore and 7,807 rupees crore respectively. Notably, two of our businesses delivered the best ever EBITDA, resulting in a consolidated EBITDA margin of 41%, a historic high for Vedanta, representing a year-on-year increase of 629 basis points. Quarter three has truly been one for the books, with Vedanta recording significant milestones on all fronts: operational, capital-related, and corporate actions. Firstly, the key operational milestones. We delivered our highest-ever quarterly and nine-month alumina and aluminium production, with quarterly alumina output rising 57% year-on-year to around 0.8 million tons. We are well on track to deliver our full-year volume guidance of around 3 million tons, a new record in Vedanta's history. Our aluminium business recorded its lowest hot metal cost of the last 17 quarters at $1,674 per ton, better than our full year guidance of $1,700 to $1,750 per ton. This improvement is primarily driven by the $110 per ton quarter-on-quarter decline in power cost after the maintenance of our captive power plant in quarter two. AZL recorded its highest ever mined metal and refined metal output, with both items registering 79% increase quarter on quarter and 4% year on year. Like our aluminium business, Hindustan Zinc also delivered its 5-year lowest production cost at $940 per ton, 6% better than our cost guidance for FY26. At our Zinc International business, the Humsberg mine delivered its best ever recovery at around 85% in December, with the third quarter production surging 28% year on year and 9-month volumes increasing 38% year on year, in line with our full year guidance. Our power business is on track to deliver an outperformance against our annual guidance, with Athena recording a PLF of 72% in quarter three, which is an 11% increase over guidance. Our iron and steel businesses delivered a record 9-month pig iron production of 680,000 tons. That's an 11% increase year on year and billet production of 775,000 tons, 13% increase year on year. In oil and gas, our average gross production stood at 85,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. Owing to various interventions across our wells, the decline in the rate of base volume at our existing oil fields has dropped from 18% to 13% over the first 9 months. These achievements were aided by strategic capacity additions and the completion of debottlenecking initiatives, reflecting our strong commitment towards achieving the guidance given at the beginning of the year. Again, these milestones have been achieved across all five businesses. Our aluminium business reported three major commissionings. First, the addition of the 1.5 million ton per annum train 2 at our refinery in Lanjigarh, thereby taking our total alumina production capacity to 5 million tons per annum. Second, the production of first metal from the new 435,000 tons per annum Balco smelter. And third is the commissioning of the first 125,000 ton per annum billet line as part of the 250,000 ton per annum project at the Jharsuguda plant. Zinc India business commissioned its 160,000 ton per annum Debari roaster and completed the debottlenecking projects at Chanderia and Dariba smelters, which added 21,000 tons per annum to our refined zinc capacity. The Hamsberg Phase 2 project at our Zinc International business is almost 90% complete, with commissioning being targeted in the next quarter. The power business added 1.3 gigawatts of new capacity at Meenakshi and Athena power plants. Currently, Meenakshi has entered into a short and medium-term supply contract for 750 megawatt capacity, while Athena has signed supply contracts for its entire first unit of 600 megawatts. Our ferrochrome business reported the start of Kalingrita mines and the approval for the enhanced production of from Oscopal mine up to 530,000 tons. At our Mangla oil field, one of the large ASP implementations globally on a single field, is reaching its final stage of commissioning and is expected to open up additional reserves of 50 million barrels for the company. We have made, as you would have seen, a gas discovery in the Ambay field awarded to us in September 2022 through the competitive bidding process. Evaluations are underway to assess the potential of the discovery. In the initial 9 months, we invested around $1.3 billion in growth capex in various projects across all five businesses, and we are on track to achieve our full-year guidance of around $1.7 billion. On the corporate action front, a significant milestone in this quarter has been the approval of our demerger scheme. This marks a defining moment in our journey, one that empowers our businesses to sharpen their strategies, strengthen their balance sheets, and accelerate growth with the aim of unlocking shareholder value. On the 16th of December, the NCLT approved our demerger scheme, and on the 21st of January, we received the certified copy of NCLT's order. We are now progressing towards its implementation and targeting 1st of April as the effective date with listings in the same quarter. Turning to ESG and CSR. At Vedanta, responsible growth is at the heart of everything we do. The safety of our workforce remains our highest priority and non-negotiable aspect of our operations. Through various initiatives at a group level, including the implementation of critical risk management, we continue to strengthen the safety culture across our facilities. However, much more needs to be done. On a year-to-date basis, our metrics do show an improvement, however, with our lost time injuries down 20%, and our TFIR-FR down 13%. Sadly, we lost three of our colleagues in this year ending quarter three. And this is incredibly painful for the team and I, and hence we continue to redouble our efforts on safety. During the quarter, we made various strides in our sustainability journey too. Vedanta Aluminium once again demonstrated its ESG leadership, securing a second rank in the S&P Corporate Sustainability Assessment for the third consecutive year. Our oil and gas business made a remarkable debut in its very first participation in the S&P assessment, ranking in the top five companies globally in the oil and gas upstream and integrated sector and emerging as the highest score in India. In the CDP ratings, Vedanta maintained a strong climate score of B, while our water rating improved from B to A-. Besides ratings, we also achieved other recognitions, reflecting progress across our sustainability commitments. Hindustan Zinc's Kayad mine was recognized for excellence in energy and water efficiency. Balco's low-carbon aluminium product Restora recorded GHG emissions lower than 4 tons of CO2 equivalent per ton of product. Reaffirming our unwavering commitment to inclusive growth, we continued our initiatives of empowering communities with investments of around 268 rupees crore in the initial 9 months of FY26 towards various CSR initiatives that positively impacted over 5.5 million lives. These milestones are proof of our values in action, of the responsibility we carry towards our communities and the planet, and our vision for a sustainable future. To summarize, quarter three is registered as a landmark quarter in Vedanta's history. The company recorded its lifetime best revenue, EBITDA and PAT on the back of expanded volumes and sustained cost optimization across all businesses alongside improvement in metal prices. During the quarter, we also achieved commissioning of new aluminium smelter and a refinery train. These are significant milestones that will drive business growth in the coming quarters. We received the NCLT's approval for a historic demerger and approval to acquire Incav Industries, another strategic move aligned with our vision of unlocking downstream synergies and broadening our market presence to enhance profitability. With our quarter four performance likely to surpass quarter three levels, we are on track to deliver what will become a lifetime high annual EBITDA of over $6 billion, surpassing the guidance given at the time of the H1 results. Progressing into FY27, we are targeting commissioning of the Sijimali bauxite mine, having received FC1 earlier this month, the start of operations at Gogopali coal mines, commissioning of the second 600 megawatt turbine at Athena, our 510,000 ton per annum fertilizer project in Hindustan Zinc, and our 250,000 ton and 510,000 ton VAB projects at both Jharsuguda and Balco. Phase 2 commissioning at Hamsburg and our 420,000 tons per annum DI pipe plant in Goa. These projects will further enhance volumes and deliver significant cost reductions through to FY27. We thank you for your continued support and trust in us. Ajay will now provide a summary of our financial performance. Ajay.
Thank you, Deshni. And a very good evening, everyone. The quarter bygone, Q3 FY26, has been a quarter of immense significance for Vedanta, marked by remarkable performance, both operationally and financially, and crucial progress made on demerger and capital structure. The macro environment is supportive, with a strong demand and pricing being favorable, and we expect these conditions to sustain going forward. On results presentation, following NCLT order on December 16, 2025, the demerger accounting under Indian Accounting Standards, Ind AS 105, has been incorporated in Q3 results filed with the regulators. These results shows aluminium, oil and gas, and iron steel businesses separately in a summary one-line form. For clarity and for like-to-like comparison, below results are for combined operations, which is pre-demerger, and for all Vedanta existing businesses. On performance, we delivered our highest ever quarterly revenue of 45,899 crores, up 19% YOY, with our portfolio strength supported by pricing, which is favorable, and strong operational execution and sustained growth across our core businesses. We also this quarter delivered our best ever quarterly EBITDA of 15,171 crores, growing 34% YOY, with EBITDA margins expanding sharply by by 629 basis points YOY to 41%. Finally, the PAT grew 60% YOY to 7,807 crores, marking our highest ever quarterly PAT in Vedanta history. Overall, on a 9-monthly basis, the performance remains equally strong. We delivered our record best 9 months revenue of more than 1.2 lakh crores, up 10% YOY, and best ever 9 months EBITDA of 37,529 crores, up 18% YOY. 9 months PAT at about 15,744 crores, our second best ever. On growth capex, we remained focused on disciplined and value-accretive growth. Over the first 9 months, we invested about 1.3 billion in strategic projects across aluminium, zinc, oil, gas, and power, and remain on track to invest about 1.7 billion for the full year as we have earlier guided. As these projects come on stream, they will drive higher volumes, margins, and earnings visibility across pricing cycles. Briefly moving on to the balance sheet. Our balance sheet continues to strengthen in a sustained and visible manner. Net debt stood at about 60,624 crores with cash and cash equivalents 20,085 crores. Our net debt to EBITDA ratio leverage improved to 1.23x from 1.4x in third quarter, further strengthening our position in terms of debt to EBITDA. We have brought down VDL's cost of borrowings to below 9% in third quarter, with further finance cost reduction in sight in near future. Offer for sale offers. You also may have noted on Jan 27th, we launched Zinc India offer for sale, which has seen strong demand and broad-based investor interest. Post completion, our shareholding in Eltel will be around 60.7% from 61.8%. So about 1.1% will be the stake dilution in Zinc as we close transaction over today and tomorrow. The transaction will further strengthen the balance sheet through fast-track deleveraging and capital structure optimization aligned with company's long-term interests. On the credit rating, the improving financial performance continued to get noticed and recognized by the rating companies. Following the demerger order, both CRISIL and ICRA has reaffirmed Vedanta's rating as AA with watch developing implications. In addition, we got upgrades from S&P, Moody and Fitch for VRL rating outlook changing from stable to positive, and that indicates there's a room for rating augmentation in near future. This underscores confidence in our improved balance sheet, cash flow visibility, and strategic direction clarity. Moving on to demerger and value unlock. It is about time for Vedanta 2.0 as we advance on demerger execution. With the NCLT order in place and key regulatory and operational matters worked through, we remain committed of completing the demerger as earlier guided, targeting April 1st as effective date of demerger, with listing of the demerged entities in the same quarter around mid to end of May. This structural transformation will unlock further value and improve capital efficiency across verticals. You also may have noted that Vedanta delivered a TSR of almost 30% in third quarter alone, representing 5x of the index overall and 2.7 times of Nifty Metal Index. In conclusion, Q3 FY26 marks a clear defining quarter of Vedanta with a strong performance and notable advancements across our strategic focus areas. With supporting macro environment and operating rigor, we are confident of delivering record EBITDA in FY26, surpassing 6 billion at Vedanta India console level. Finally, the demerger marks Vedanta's transition into a new phase of growth and value unlocking into a powerhouse of critical minerals, energy transition, and technology. Thank you, and back to operator for Q&As.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Amit Lahoti from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. And I'm really sorry for the loss of Mr. Agnivesh Agarwal. So my first question is on demerger, as we have classified the businesses as discontinued operations in the financial statements. Is it fair to say that all the approvals and name transfer on the assets are in place for demerger to go through?
Amit, thank you so much for the question and thank you so much for your condolences. Amit, now that we've had the formal order in hand, we will start with actually the various CPs we have, and then all of the necessary steps to actually give effect to the corporate restructuring will happen. But Ajay, do you want to add anything to that?
No, sure. So Amit, the entire demerger accounting follows the Indian accounting regulation, specifically Ind AS 103 and 105. And under that guidelines, in case the demerger is more likely over next 12 months, then you have to account the way we have accounted. Now, obviously, we have to work through a couple of CPs and other statutory approvals. But as we earlier mentioned, we are committed and confident making 1st April as a date on which demerger becomes effective.
Okay. And then my second question is on aluminium hot metal cost. So where we have alumina cost, which is still at $800 per ton, and the cost of alumina production is clearly higher than the market price, which is now close to $300 in the international markets. So what would be the mix of captive production versus imports going ahead? So basically the question is there any incentive for increasing captive production at all, given that the market price is lower than what we are producing at?
Thank you so much for that question. I'm actually going to shoot this straight to Anoop and Rajiv. But Anoop?
So thank you, Amit, for that question. So Amit, on your first question on the captive mix, see, as we are ramping up Lanjigarh and Disney covered it, we did about 800 KT in quarter three, and we are expecting 900 KT plus in quarter four. So that means 60% in quarter three captive, 70% in quarter four, and going forward quarter one, quarter two, it should be 80%. Now coming to your second question on the alumina cost being closer to 800, see, I'll tell you. As I said, now on the bought out alumina, what happens is, on the pricing month, we actually lock in the LME. And as we are seeing, with the LME in surge, we are not getting the benefit that we had intended. Now, if you'll see quarter three, the LME was closer to 2600. Now, 2800. And as we speak, it is closer to 3100. And that is the reason. Last time we said, you will see a $50 lower cost quarter on quarter. What we are seeing is a $22 in quarter three and maybe a $25 in quarter four. Probably as we go into the quarter one, you will see a cost sub 750. But the main driver remains the captive, and as I said, we will be closer to 80% as we go into the quarter one. Amit, hopefully I have answered your question.
Yes, so just to follow up on this, what is the contract as percentage of your total alumina consumption, as in contract related to LME price of aluminium?
See, Amit, as I said, no, be it API, be it LME. Whenever we are buying, whenever that material is getting priced, no, we lock in the LME. So that has been our policy.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead. Dhananjay?
Hi, congratulations to everyone. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes,
just wanted to ask, sir, firstly, congratulations, fantastic set of numbers in an environment. I just want to ask you, for our aluminium capacities for production, how much do we see the 600 plus KT be, let's say, in a year from today? Hello?
Yeah, thank you for that. I'm actually going to hand over to Rajiv, but just very quickly, the increase in aluminium production is coming from our Balco project. So let Rajiv update on the Balco project and talk about the ramp up that we'll see over the coming two quarters. Rajiv.
So thank you, Dhananjay. We are just now at 20 pots in the new 435 KT smelter at Balco. We intend to increase to about 1 lakh ton by this year end, March end, and then next 3 to 6 months we'll ramp up the rest of the pots. There are 304 pots divided into 4 zones. So the first set of 76 pots would be online by March, and the rest of the numbers would be on by in the next 3 to 6 months. And we will ramp it up from there. We have taken a best benchmark number of ramping up of the pots anywhere in the world for this kind of smelter.
Thank you so much for that, Rajiv. Just to summarize on that, we will get to 2.8 million tons of aluminium post our Balco project ramp up. The team is working on a set of debottlenecking exercises to close the gap from 2.8 to 3 million tons, which is what we've guided in the market over the next 18 months. But in addition to that, our Langegar refinery will get up to 5 million tons. We're already close to those run rates. So as Anoop just explained, that is what gives us the integrated or the captive benefit there. But the other opportunity right now on aluminium is actually our value added. So we have value-added projects both at Balco and Jharsuguda. So in addition to the volume uplift, which you'll see in the next year, you're also going to see a margin increase from us in terms of VAV, which the team is working on how much more we can actually sell in the domestic market. So I just wanted to give you the full aluminium growth and margin story to expect over the next 1 year. Because remember, the Balco project is 435. Sorry, please go.
No, sir. And in power, where do we see our capacities, let's say, a couple of years or 3 years from hence? How do we see that ramping up our power capacities?
Certainly. So in terms of current projects, we have another unit in Athena to go, which is another 600 megawatts. But I have Rajendra Ahuja, our power CEO, on the line. So Rajendra, I think it would be good for you just to talk through where we are today, the current projects, and of course, you know, somewhat of the strategy around power for post the next 3 years.
Thank you, Deshni, and hi, Subhagrodia. Just wanted to tell you that, you know, as of now, this year we have commissioned around 1.6 gigawatt of capacity at Athena Minakshi. So total capacity as of now up and running is 4.2 gigawatt. This is expected to go to around 5 gigawatt, 4.8 nearly gigawatt by end of H1 of the next year. And as we demerge, we really want to be a growth company and write the India's growth story on energy. So we are having a plan in place to, you know, put, additional 10 to 12 gigawatt. That's a plan being made. And you will really see that, you know, this company will be on continuous growth chart for the next 5 to 7 years as India needs more thermal power capacity.
But sir, for this, do we have tie-ups to the to reach from 5 to 10? Are there even equipments available? Everything is available, or how is that coming along on ground?
So we are keeping all options open. Indian players, yes, there's a definitely capacity constraint from Indian manufacturer, but we are exploring India as well as, you know, outside India, all who can supply us, and we have a good discussion going on. Maybe at right time we will come out with the concrete numbers on that.
But the focus right now, Rajendra, is to get us to the 5 gigawatts. Absolutely. As soon as that's the focus, and the focus there is also to look at how we tie up most of that into contracts, as we saw with the current PPAs that we just landed for both Athena and Meenakshi. So that's the focus. When we have the rest of the plans in terms of how to grow the power sector, especially now with the demerger, we will come back to the market.
Sure. And lastly, thank you to Charanjit and the IR team for such strong disclosures. It's been really, really helpful for us as investors. So thank you to Charanjit and the team. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Take our next question from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for the chance. I have a few questions. I got disconnected in between, so please excuse if it's repeated. So firstly, I wanted to know hedging volumes. What proportion is hedged for fourth quarter and mainly for FY27 across divisions, mainly aluminium, silver, and zinc? And what sort of policy or strategy are we following as far as hedging is concerned?
Okay. Sure, Sumangal. We haven't covered hedging, so I think it's all right. Hedging, I think all of you would agree, in the current environment is highly tumultuous. It makes sense to hedge. Hedging as a policy is dynamic. It is a real time. And we have the market impact practically on time, real time basis. We also have a global expert at out of Vedanta advising Vedanta Risk Committee on the hedging. So it is a joint call that we all take. That's the policy. In terms of how much we have hedged across the key commodities, so silver hedging for the current fiscal, as of now, it's about 68 tons, and it's about 10% volume of the current fiscal. Additionally, about 50 tons is covered for next year, about 7%. So overall, 10% for the current fiscal and 7% for the next year. 17% is a hedged quantity. The average rate is about $45 per troy ounce. In case of zinc, the hedging is almost 50 KT each, both for the fourth quarter and next year. So almost 100 KT, almost 9% volume for the full fiscal is hedged. The average value, the price locked is almost $3,000 per ton across Q4 and next year. And finally, in terms of aluminium, 8%, about 125 KT for the fourth quarter, and almost 490, 10% is the next year hedging. So net 18% quantity hedged for aluminium. The average pricing is about 2650. So in summary, about 10% for the current fiscal and 10% for the next year has been hedged.
Thanks. Ajay, can you just give FY27, what's the price, hedge price? The average price is fourth quarter and FY27, right?
That's right. In fact, for the next year, the numbers are much higher, slightly higher. So silver at about $55 per ton, about the quantity is 48 tons exactly. In case of zinc, it is 43 tons and the price is about 3072. And aluminium is about 10%, 490 or so, and the pricing about 2625.
Understood. That's very clear. Second question is on the aluminium cost. I just wanted to understand what sort of cost changes are we expecting over the next one or two quarters. And from Balco smelter, what sort of ramp-up schedule can we expect over FY27? Do we expect, what utilization could we achieve in FY27 on an average?
Thank you, Sumangu. We did already answer the Balco ramp-up, but we can certainly re-summarize for you. But maybe Anoop, you can start with the cost of the next two quarters.
So, Sumangal, so as you would have seen, in quarter three, our hot metal cost reduced by 8% compared to the last quarter. While answering the alumina cost, I had guided that next quarter, alumina cost will be lower, $25 almost. We have a planned maintenance of one of our bigger power plant units, and there you will see a higher cost. So both will tend to offset each other. So next quarter, broadly, we are saying cost will remain flat at the constant LME. Maybe 0.5% here and there because of the inflationary pressure that we're seeing on the carbon commodity. Coming to quarter one with the ramp up in Lanjigarh and the bauxite that we're expecting from Sidi Mali, we believe we should have a $50-$60 cost reduction compared to where we are today.
Understood. And just very lastly, any new deleveraging targets for both Vedanta Resources and India given the cash flows and the commodity prices?
Yeah, sure. I mean, overall, what we committed last time, Sumangal, we as a group at VRL level, almost $500 million deleveraging. And given the current offers in the play, again, another $500 million. So roughly about 0.8 to $1 billion will be deleveraging across the group in the current fiscal. With that, the VEL India debt will come down by almost $0.7 billion in the current year and almost $300 at VRL level. At Vedanta India, we track debt to EBITDA. So compared to 1.23x as on third quarter, we'll be closing the fiscal at about 1x, and that will be, I think, lowest in the last many, many years.
Thank you.
Understood. Thank you so much. I'll join the queue back. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Ashish Kejriwal from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and many congratulations to the entire team. My question is on the alumina part. Anup sir, you mentioned that, you know, we try to purchase alumina at a percentage to LME. So, because, you know, our alumina production is increasing, so do you think that whatever is requirement for FY 2027, we can't go for spot basis? Because as a percentage of LME, we are not getting any benefit. In fact, if I do the calculation, third quarter purchase alumina cost seems to be higher than second quarter. And obviously, it will continue to go higher because of the aluminum price. So for the strategy part, can't we go for spot purchase, or is it not available itself? That's my first question.
So Ashish, see, last time I had said that we had some LME-linked contracts, okay? But as we go into the next financial, most of our contracts are API-linked. That is what you call the alumina price index, is not LME-linked. The point that I had covered, in the pricing month, and we've explained it time and again, that there is a 45-60 days lag. So what we did do is when in the month of pricing, no, we actually lock in the LME, be it API, be it LME. And in a LME rising scenario, which you have seen, almost 10% rising 2 months, you see that gap. And if the LME was a constant, I am again repeating, you could have seen almost a $40-$45 reduction in alumina this quarter and the next quarter. So at some point of time in the constant LME, you know, you will see that big gain coming in. But LME-linked contracts are almost not there for the next financial year. Very small quantity.
So is it safe to say that from first quarter FY 2027, when we are expecting $50-$60 fall in hot metal cost, we are saying that entire alumina purchase or maximum alumina purchase is API-linked, not aluminum price-linked?
Yes. So that's a fair point. On a constant LME, something which I mentioned. Keep that in mind, Ashish.
So, sir, this is somewhat confusing actually, because the spot prices which we look at is, that is something like $310-$315 per ton for alumina. Whereas, if I link with aluminum, and even if you got 12-13% as a percentage of LME, it will be much higher, $400 plus. So what you are trying to say is that.
No, Ashish,
yeah.
I'm only trying to say that, see, suppose if I had bought alumina at $310, as you rightly said, and there is a lag of 60 days. So when I'm pricing the alumina, the LME is $3,000. In the consumption month, if it is $3,200, you only have that lag. Otherwise, there is absolutely no lag. Because as a policy, we lock in the LME in the month of pricing. It's not LME-linked.
I think it's very clear, Ashish. It's price is API-linked, consumption in the month, right, would be LME-linked. But that's just the way we account for it.
Okay, I'll try to take it offline.
Yeah.
Second thing is, in terms of our coal block, Kudloi, which we are saying that we are going to start in fourth quarter. So have we received all regulatory clearances and now we are on ground, because we are already at end of January? So how comfortable we are in that coal block for Kudloi? And as well as Sijimali, we have received stage one forest clearance. But even after that, we need to get some clearances and other local bodies clearances. How comfortable we are saying that, you know, Sijimali, we can start before monsoon this year?
Rajeev, I think you can give a full update on both the coal as well as all our bauxite blocks.
So, thank you for the question, Ashish. On Kudloi, as you rightly said, we got the FC stage one on 12th of May 2025, and FC stage two clearance we got on 12th of January this month, 2026. And CTO, and some approvals, mine lease opening as well as escrow account opening, all that is running in parallel. And we are quite hopeful. We have already put in the MDO and the team is on ground and we are ready. We have already shifted our offices in that area on Kodaluri. And we are very hopeful of commissioning the Kodaluri mine by quarter four of FY26, which has been the guidance. As far as Sijimali is concerned, FC stage one was obtained on 31/12/2025. EC, we are expecting by February 26, and we are quite hopeful of operationalizing the mine, as you rightly said, in the monsoon month. So we are quite there, and we are very hopeful of doing both. As far as Govarpalli is concerned, we have also made headway, and the mine plan is already approved. And the public hearing, we got it in January 26, done, completed. EC, we are expecting by May 26. And FC by July 26. Again, commissioning, as we have guided, we will stick to that commissioning. So we are in control, and the last leg of approvals as far as Kodaluri and operationalizing Sijimali by quarter one, FY27. Thank you.
That's great. And lastly, on steel, we have not heard anything on the getting clearances for our expansion from 1.5 to 3. And obviously, every quarter or half yearly, we keep on postponing that, final date. So, where we are, do we think that, that 1.5 to 2 or 3 million ton approval from the government, or the regulatory authorities we are going to get in this year, or actually where we are on that process?
Thank you so much for the question. So we have completed the acquisition of our 913 hectares of forest land that we've already handed over to the forest department. The team on the ground has been engaging with the MOEF CC in terms of, you know, what else we would need to comply with. We are very encouraged with the fact that we are concluding this now when MOEF CC has relaxed the requirement in terms of the forestry ratio of 1 to 2. So against that and the engagements on the ground, Ashish, I don't want to preempt, but we are most hopeful that this would happen in this quarter still. And then in terms of progress on the ground, you know, the team continues within the constraints we have to make overall progress on the project. I think the project is some 70% complete, of course, within the constraints we have. So once we get the approvals, we'll start to accelerate the rest of the project completion.
Thank you so much, team, and I must congratulate for the team for effective debt management as well as project execution. Thanks and hats off to you guys.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Pallav Agarwal from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. The first question was on the timeline. So are we still showing power business as under continuing operations? So are we confident that we should be able to get all requisite approvals before, March or April, if you want the full demerger to be effective?
Ajay, do you want to take that question in terms of just reiterating the timelines as we understand it for demerger?
Yes, it is just the dates, Pallav. I mean, as we know, the bigger demerger, the four businesses, the NCLT order came on December 16th. Which falls within the third quarter, October-December. The NCLT order for power, the Delhi bench, in fact, came on January 7th. So it is an event post-balance sheet date. And hence, power is part of operations continuation. So in terms of approvals, we intend to demerge all four companies on the same day. And the target right now being is the 1st April. So they will be all co-terminus on the same day.
Sure. For the perspective of valuing the individual businesses, so how do we, apportion the portion of debt among the various businesses? So probably a proper picture of the valuation of the different entities.
As we speak right now, the management is a focused, similarly, in fact, carving out multiple balance sheets and debt allocation and many more statutory requirements. So in terms of debt, I think that remains simpler part. When we went to the banker seeking NOC, in that case, debt allocation was broadly aligned with the bankers as a precondition for granting NOC for demerger approval. So broadly, the net debt in Vedanta India Consol at about 6.7 billion will get apportioned in the ratio of assets that each entity will carry post-demerger. One more dimension remains each entity's cash generation and debt serving capability. So in summary, a significant portion of debt out of 6.7 billion will go to aluminum, some portion to power, and the remainder Vedanta. Oil and gas post-demerger will practically be debt-free and a very small debt in iron steel. So it is all being worked out, and by end of this March, be it recasted balance sheets, P&L account, or debt allocation will be all finalized.
Sure, that would be very helpful. And lastly, on the oil and gas, business, so we are adding some reserves, but, production continues to decline. So, with some new fields getting added, is there some probability that this can increase going ahead?
Yeah. So I'm gonna hand over. Thank you, Plav. I'm gonna hand over to Yasmin, our COO, who will take the question. But I just wanted to also, remind the market that we did come in and talk about, three different projects that we were undergoing in Rajasthan. Firstly, on ASP, as well as the work that we had to do on tight oil, and then some of the exploration activities in terms of infill drilling. So, Yasmin, when you update, I think just because we spoke to the market the last quarter, let's just speak about why the volumes didn't come to plan and what is the recovery plan that we have underway across Cairn.
Right. Good afternoon, everybody. So the main reason why volumes are not coming to the level that we expected is actually delaying of the project's ASP commissioning and start-up, which is enhanced oil recovery, one of the largest in the world and very expensive technology. However, we are about to finalize commissioning and start-up and to pick up the first volumes of the contributions from the reservoir in that way in period of next 3 months. This is first bucket. Second bucket is tight oil, is immense, basically reserves in place and the resources that we are converting to the reserves. And with the intensive recompletion strategy and the drilling new wells, we'll pick up that from the existing 8,000 to 15,000. Basically, that two buckets will stabilize the decline to actually be on the sustainable production delivery and slowly picking up an increase towards 90,000. As you are also aware, in the West Offshore, we discovered the recently confirmed reserves on the largest scale in the offshore shallow Amby. However, that project will be commissioned and start up next year, actually this financial year, 2027, in quarter four. And the first volume will be the stable production rate will be around 15,000 in March next year. On the Northeast, biggest prospect, we are in the continual delay for the first and the most important exploratory appraisal project, SP1. It is not easy to operate over there. We are finally coming with all commitments towards the environment and the local government in terms of approvals. And without that, we cannot ultimately start our drilling program. We hope it will be commissioned end of this financial year, end of March, and then we can drill 2 to 3 wells, which will discover potential volumes of up to 100 million reserves, which will definitely ramp up production in our entire portfolio, especially from the Northeast. That's in the nutshell everything. We have a couple of more projects which are working for the further development, like a heavy oil in the Rajasthan North, like an infill on the South, satellite fields of oil in the Rajasthan South, and the East Coast, very promising big prospect of Ellen Backfold offshore, onshore to offshore drilling, which may increase our reserves to 50 million additionally. So all in all, we expect the next year to stabilize everything and to grow to at least 90,000, and then year after the year, reaching our ultimate target of 150,000.
Sure. Thank you so much for the detailed answer. So just finally, I think as part of the demerger, there was some guarantee to be provided for the, the arbitration dispute. So would that be as a Vedanta Limited, the primary company level, or at the, the oil company level?
You are referring probably.
Thank you, Yasmin. Yes, Talab, that's already been dealt with at the current structure. So when we demerge, that will be without the obligation sitting at the entry level.
Sure. Yeah, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. A few questions. One is for Ajay. Sir, we had a certain outgo commitment at VRL with respect to interest in ICL. Any update on that? Because honestly, we're expecting some payout to fund that. So if that thing is something which has been taken care of, how was it funded? That's the first question.
Yeah, sure. So in fact, all of the ICL is on track as we have committed, or as in fact is contracted. As of now, out of a billion ICL advanced in 2019, 417 million remains outstanding, and practically 200 is due on Jan 31st, in 3-4 days from now, and the balance 200 sometimes in Q1, which is end of May. So out of 200 ICL due in January, 50 million, in fact, we have prepaid in December. So 150 now remains pending in January, and the balance 200 in May. The entire ICL, 50 million, will be paid on time.
Right. So this balance 150, and there was an interest payment, I presume, 270, 280. So the idea is to still fund it via dividends.
So if you look at the fourth quarter, Jan to March, so almost 150 million is the ICL. There is no other debt due in the fourth quarter. So 150 is the ICL, and the balance 125 million is the interest. So overall 275 million. Now, how do we fund it? Again, the option remains the mix of refinancing and repayment. Now, dividend, as you would appreciate, Aditesh, is a board matter. But we have in the past been committing about 6% dividend yield. And what we have paid in the current fiscal is almost 3%. So a payment of a dividend in the fourth quarter is likely, subject to board approvals. In that case, the entire dues, almost 275 million in the fourth quarter, will be addressed through dividend.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much for a detailed answer. My second question is, how should we read into confidential filing for Copper Tech Metals? So I'm reading it more from the VRL debt profile and the recent OFS that we have in Hindustan Zinc. How should we read into promoters holding into Vedanta and Vedanta holding into Hindustan Zinc? Like, how should we look at a broader top-down thought process from a company?
I think from an overall Copper Tech point of view, there is no link, right, with Vedanta Limited and anything below VRL. This is a separate entity sitting above Vedanta Resources Limited, as we've told the market. And that entity today will be holding 80% of our KCM interest, that as we've told the market that we have filed an S1 that we're going through the process with now with the SEC in terms of next steps. But there is no link.
Please correct me if I'm wrong. So it's VRL which holds 80% into the entity, right?
Yes. It is VRL that currently holds 80% of our KCM interest, with 20% being held by the local government entity in Zambia.
Correct. Would it be possible for you to give some color on what is the thought process? I appreciate it. Nothing to do with Vedanta, but it will impact the debt profile at the VRL level. So that's where the interest is from.
Ritesh, sorry, I'll have to intervene here. We are in the silent period with respect to having done the S1 filing. So we can't speak anything until the process is continuing.
As we guided in the last result.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
And I'll just move to the next question. Thank you. I'll just move to the next question. Thanks for detailed disclosures with respect to the different entities. But if we had to understand the element of accumulated losses, unabsorbed depreciation, tax efficiencies, is there a way in which you can help us? We can appreciate these variables.
That is a work, Ritesh, right now is underway, as I mentioned. So over the next 8 weeks, 2 months or so, recasting multiple balance sheets for each of resulting entities, debt allocation in terms of finalization, structure of the management in place, all will be worked out. Allow us maybe almost 2 months' time, you will have all the numbers. One thing I can confirm to the entire audience and through you to the stakeholders at large, that demerger in fact becomes an opportunity across the areas. Take an example, the office right now in the play, the value is almost ₹3,000 crore, and that also gives us a reason to fast track the entire deleveraging. And as I earlier mentioned, our intent is to make oil and gas business tax-free. And also our iron steel business almost debt-free. So many of this structuring will be in Vedanta opportunity from taxation viewpoint and otherwise.
Thanks for that. I didn't get the 3,000 crore number, sir.
So the offers for zinc right now, we're looking at almost 1.1% as the bidding both by retail and institution got closed
at
2:30. It's about 1.1% stake sale. And that's ₹3,000 crores broadly. And the entire amount will be used for deleveraging.
Sure. And last question, in notes to accounts, we have mentioned a claim of $512 million. How should we look into this? I understand it's sub judice, but under which entity will this fall and how should we look at this variable going forward?
That's an ongoing matter with the MOPNG. It pertains to oil and gas, and the matter is in arbitration. In fact, all the judgments in the past have been in Vedanta's favor, and in our assessment, that matter is medium to low risk.
So, if there is a windfall gain, where will it fall?
Well, it is arbitration is in the play. And the next date of hearing is sometimes in the middle of March, and that will determine any gain, if at all. Any accounting implications, gain or otherwise, we go in oil and gas business post demerger.
It's ring fenced to oil and gas, whatever the decision will be.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for the detailed answer. Wish you all the very best. Thank you again.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rashi Chopra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just on Zinc International, how do we think about the cost in the fourth quarter and next year?
Thank you so much. Rashi, in terms of current cost levels have become higher for a couple of reasons. As we continue to do the waste stripping in the mine, we now move some of those costs from capital into OPEX. So that's one of the movements we've seen. Of course, the exchange rate in South Africa has not worked in our favor. That's also contributing to some of the dollar cost movements in the quarter. And then we also have slightly higher TCRCs quarter on quarter, which is the other big decider. And then although the Humsburg mine and plant did very well in terms of the 50,000 in this quarter, our Black Mountain mine, because of the deep decline, is actually coming to the end of its life. And without the Black Mountain tons and the associated copper and silver we get as a byproduct, that's also affected the overall cost structure. A good cost structure post ramp up of our Humsburg project, Rashi, should be in the range of about 1.1 to 1.2, so $1,100 to $1,200 per ton. But that will be patchy as we ramp up, and with some of the headwinds that I've just mentioned in terms of TCRCs as well as our waste stripping moving into cost. I hope that gives you some indication.
Yes, thank you. On the interest cost switching here, you mentioned that this year for the fourth quarter, the balance interest payment is about $125 million. What is that $400 million for FY27 and FY28?
Okay.
From VRL viewpoint, Rashi?
Yes, sorry.
So let me give you slightly details answer in terms of the VRL requirement on maturities, both principal and interest for next fiscal. So interest, you're right, the number is almost $450 million for the next fiscal at VRL on full yearly interest cost basis. So $450 is interest. In terms of principal, the external debt is $450 and ICL $200, $650. $650 and $450 is almost $1.1 billion. Now, how one should look at in terms of debt servicing? There are two sources of cash for VRL. The brand fee, let's say $400 to $450. And the remainder, even if you pay 5% or lesser dividend, $650. So net, as we've been saying in the past, The Vedanta resources will be self-sufficient, self-funded to a 5% dividend and retain brand fee going forward.
Got it. Thank you. And just to clarify once again, on hedging, what was the aluminium hedged volume for the fourth quarter and for the next year?
So the current quarter is almost 125 KT at the price of 2640. For next year, FY27, it's about 490 KT and the pricing is more or less same. It's 2625. So 125 and 490 KT Q4 next year, pricing is roughly 26-25 on both the cases.
Understood. And so just last question for me, your captive alumina target for 1Q27 is 80%, right?
Yes, Rashi, that's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Charanjit Singh for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So thank you, everyone, for taking out the time to join us. For any unanswered questions, feel free to get in touch with the IR team. So with this, we conclude our call and we look forward to reconnecting with you in April for our Q4 results. Goodbye and good day, everyone.
Thank you, members of the management team. On behalf of Vedanta Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.